Tonight, God's word comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to read the first three verses of this chapter, then pick up our reading at verse 16 and go through the end of the chapter. Second Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now going on to verse 16. I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent dangers, in danger of rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was governing the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we continue in this rather strange section of the letter. I say strange section of the letter because Paul uses a number of rhetorical devices to make his point. He uses exaggeration. He uses hyperbole. He will often take his opponent's argument on his own lips to demonstrate the foolishness of what they were believing. At times, and we'll see this tonight, he will say the exact opposite of what he means. And it makes it very difficult to get at the point Paul is trying to make. But remember, in this last section of the letter, he is defending his ministry and he is defending the gospel. He is concerned that they would hear the gospel of Christ. The false apostles that he engages with are those who would boast about who they were. And in the section tonight, Paul says, look, if you want to boast, I can boast with the best of them. But he says, that's really not my desire. He says in verse 17, what I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Paul says, if you want me to boast about who I am, boast about my ministry, it would be foolish to do so. In fact, this section of Paul's letter is often referred to as the fool's speech, hence the title of tonight's sermon, the fool's speech. Paul will take upon himself the character of the false apostles. He will act like they do, that the church might be able to see the truth of the gospel Paul is bringing to them. Paul has great concern for the church. Remember what he says in verse 2, I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Tonight we look at really just part of the fool's speech. This speech continues on into the next chapter, but there is so much in all of this. We're going to take part of it tonight, and we'll take the rest of it next Sunday, Lord willing. So tonight, the fool's speech, Paul's boast as if he were one of the false apostles in who he is and in what he has done. And so he says in verse 16, I repeat, let no one think me foolish. And what he is saying here is, look, the way I'm going to speak, it's going to be in a particular way. But don't confuse me with the false apostles. And don't confuse my ministry with their ministry. But if you want to compare me to them, if I need to boast for you to listen to me, I will do so. I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, then accept me as a fool, so I too may boast a little. In other words, you can compare their boasts against my boast, so the truth can be seen. He says, what I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but I say it as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. He says, if that's the only way that I can get you to see the truth, then I will act like one of them. That's how much he loves the church. That's his great concern for the church. I'll even speak this way if this is what it'll take to have you see the truth. Verse 19, for you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourself. Paul here referring back to what he said earlier in chapter 11 in verse 4. He says there, for if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Paul says, if you are willing to listen to the fools, if you will listen to the false apostles, then you most certainly should be ready to listen to me. For you gladly bear with fools, being so wise yourself. He's going to talk about the character of these false apostles. Verse 20, for you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you,
or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. You'll put up with so much, Paul says. Why won't you put up with the truth? Why won't you recognize the truth of what I am telling you? These false apostles come, and they are those who will make slaves of you. They were not the false apostles. They were not preaching the gospel of grace, but once again bringing the burden of law upon God's people. No longer seeing the glorious grace of Christ as all that we need for salvation. And things have not changed since Paul's time. Still, false teachers will come and try to make slaves of the church once again. They will not preach the freedom of grace, but they will say, and you still need to do something. You are still going to be burdened by the law of God. And then we say, how do we ever know if we've done enough? They make slaves of you, and you put up with it. He says, no, we cannot listen to that. He says, they are those who will devour you. And the word he uses here has a connotation of taking advantage of you financially. Remember, that was one of their challenges to Paul, and that his teaching wasn't worth anything because he didn't charge for it like the false apostles charged. Again, back earlier in the chapter, verse 7, or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted, because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge. He says, I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. Paul says, they take advantage of you. They want your finances. I give you the gospel freely, for it was freely given to me. They take advantage. They put on airs, Paul says. They make themselves seem better than they are. They push themselves forward. We talked earlier in the letter about letters of recommendation. They commend themselves. They bring this self-commendation. Paul says, you yourself are my letter. You've seen what God's grace has done for you. He says, they will strike you in the face. Now, whether he means that figuratively or literally, we are not sure, but he certainly says they act unseemly towards you without your best interest in mind. I have such love. I have such concern for you. They treat you like you're weak. They slap you in the face. They treat you like you're foolish, like you're not smart enough to understand the truth, that you don't get it, that they have to explain it all to you. Paul says that type of character, that false apostle, you must not listen to. He goes on in verse 21. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Again, bitter irony. At the beginning of verse 21, he says, to my shame, they did all this to you, to my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. They were claiming, Paul, you're so strong in your letters, but weak in person. Paul says, yes, I am too weak to do these things, to take advantage of you. No, the irony of the way Paul writes, and his bottom line is, I love you. I love the church. And that is the character of the one who brings the true message. He is more concerned about the church and the gospel than about anything else. That is what is most important to the Apostle Paul. That's what comes through in this fool's speech, his love for the gospel, his love for the church. He says, but if I have to boast, I will. I'm speaking like a fool. This is the fool's speech. But I will dare to boast of these things. And he's going to go on
and lists some things in which he could boast. And as I worked through these things of which Paul could dare to boast, speaking like a fool, it struck me how easily we could fall into the same trap. We confess we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But it's still so easy for us to want to offer something. For us to in some way say, look, God did a really good thing when he chose me for salvation. Paul says to speak that way is to speak as a fool. He will talk about his ancestry. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Paul says, they want to boast, I can boast right along with them. Are they Hebrews, God's chosen people? I am too. In fact, elsewhere Paul says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm the best of all the Hebrews. You want me to boast? That's who I am. Are they Israelites? I am too. God's covenant line, you bet, Paul says, I fall in that. Are they children of Abraham? Abraham, the father of all believers. Oh, Paul says, that's me too. I can boast in who I am. I can boast in my lineage. I can boast in my ancestry. And I have to say, I think that danger still lives today. I'm in the church because I have the right last name, because I come from the right ethnicity, because I'm one who really should have been chosen by God. We read Psalm 71, and the psalmist says, you've known me from my birth, you've known me from my mother's womb, you know me when I was young, and we can so easily begin to think that somehow we have earned that because of who we are. Paul says to speak this way is to speak as the fool. We are received by God in Christ because of who he is. We have nothing to boast in ourselves. Paul goes on in 23, verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. You want to say you're a Christian? I'm even better than you are. And again, the danger, I'll put it that way, the danger is still with us today. We meet someone and begin to strike up a casual conversation, and the things turn to the things of the Lord. And we ask them, well, so what church do you belong to? And perhaps it's a church that doesn't necessarily ring familiar to us. Perhaps we might say it's not from the right family of churches. Now, we know it is our obligation as believers to seek out a church that most faithfully reflects the truth of Scripture. That's our obligation. But that does not mean that every other church is a false church. And I think it's easy for us to boast, to take pride in the name of the church. It has the right words in its name. And forgetting, again, that we are simply the blessed recipients. These are the gifts God has given to us. He, in his goodness, has brought us to a church that preaches and teaches the truth. That's not something to boast in ourselves. That's a gift of God. Paul says, you want to talk about these things? I'm like a madman to say all these things. But he will go on, not talking now about his lineage, but about his ministry. 23, I have far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. He will talk about the work God has called him to do. Verse 27, I am in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Paul says, my work has been difficult, it's been hard, but I've done it for the sake of the gospel and for your sake. Going on in verse 28, and apart from all the other things, the sleepless nights, the hunger, the thirst, the cold, the heat, apart from all these other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for the churches. Paul was the father of this church, their spiritual father, and he was concerned for them, and he wanted the best for them, and that weighed upon him. He will go on and talk about the physical dangers he had. Verse 24, he says this, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes lest one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was physically in danger. I'll boast about that. You think you're great? Look what I've done. Five times the 40 lashes minus one. The 40 lashes was the Jewish penalty that they would give. They referred to it as 40 lashes minus one, 39. Because although they were able to give 40, they would only give 39 just in case they miscounted. Didn't want to go past the law. Paul says, five times I received that lashing, the Jewish penalty. Three times, beaten with rods. This was the Roman punishment. Punishment from the Jews, punishment from the Romans. Stoned one time. He says, I was shipwrecked, exposed to death. Three times shipwrecked, a night and a day adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. All these dangers I faced, all the difficulties, dangers through rivers and robbers, natural catastrophes, other villains out there, my own people rejecting me, the Gentiles rejecting me. Danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea. That's everywhere. That's everywhere. And danger from false brothers. You want to boast? You want to boast about what you've done? I've done it all, Paul says. I've done it all. And yet to speak this way is to speak as a fool. He says, I'm speaking this way because I have to try to make my point. But I do not want to boast in what I have done. My desire is to boast in what God has done. The whole chapter is filled with this irony. And even as Paul recounts these various difficulties in which the fool boasts, it's a reflection. It's a reflection of what Christ himself went through. Being hungry and thirsty. We think of Christ 40 days in the wilderness without food. Being rejected by his own people, being rejected by others. Christ comes to his own and his own receive him not. Rejected by his own people, rejected by others. In danger, in the city, in the country, at sea. Constant opposition to the work Christ had come to do, in danger from false brothers, from those who would raise charges against him falsely, and he himself would be betrayed by one of his 12 closest friends. Jesus Christ, the one who came and truly could boast in what he had done. And yet even that, all of that for our sake. All of what Christ has done, going all the way to death for us. Paul says that's where the focus needs to be. Not on the things I've done. Not on the boasts I could make if you wanted me to boast. No, he says, if I must boast, I will boast the things in which I show my weakness. And that's his transition to where we're going to go next Sunday evening. Paul boasting in his weakness, not in his strength. But he says this is all about Christ and all about what he has done. And the same is true tonight. All these boasts Paul makes are to point us not to him, but so that we would believe the truth of his message. We would believe the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that Jesus Christ came to do all the work necessary, that Jesus Christ accomplished everything for our salvation. And he calls us again tonight to put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, not to boast in ourselves, not to boast in even things we may have done. That is to speak like the fool, but to see what God has done. What God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us, to secure us, to continue to walk with us every day of our lives, to give us hope, to give us strength, to give us comfort. Oh, we must be so careful not to speak like the fool, but to embrace Jesus Christ, the truth, the wisdom of salvation, and to find our life in him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your word. Even those parts that are somewhat difficult to understand, yet we know it is your inspired word and we dig deeply into it. Lord God, if we are ever tempted to look to ourselves, to our lineage, to the things that we have done, to try to take credit for these things as unto salvation, Lord God, forgive us for speaking like the fool. May we only boast in Jesus Christ, only boast in what he has done, and find our complete refuge in him. Thank you, O God, for his perfect work on the cross. Thank you for his continued work as through his Spirit he watches over and blesses and protects us. Lord God, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.